السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، وعلى ابنته الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. وبعد، فقد قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا؟ إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا، إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا، صدق الله العلي العظيم. In this life there are two ways and two types and two kinds of living. There are two lifestyles. One of them is the life of shukr, and the second is the life of kufr. The life of shukr means the life of gratefulness and thankfulness and appreciation, the life of acceptance, the life of content, the life of satisfaction, the life of obedience to God, the life of purpose. The other one is the life of rejection, the life of rebellion, the life of constant dissatisfaction and constant complaining. And these two lives were founded from day one, and both are going to continue to the last day, to the last day of this life, this earth. Inna hadaynahu sabil, verily we showed man the way, the good way, the way of success and the way of damnation. Inna hadaynahu sabil, and we left the choice for him to decide. Imma shakiran, either he's going to lead the life of thankfulness to God and acceptance. Wa imma kafura, or either he's going to go into the other direction, the life of dishappiness, the life of discontent. And the main highlights of Hayat al-Shukr, the life of gratefulness, the main one, the main characteristics of it, the main highlights of it, is that we put the interest of others before our own interest. We put the interest of the family, the community, the society, the country, the religion before our own personal interests. And once we put others before us, we're going to get both. We're going to get others and us. But if we put ours, us, at that, narcissism, egoism, self-centeredness, self-importance, self-interest before others, we're going to lose both. We're going to lose us, and we're going to lose others too. Tonight we commemorate the life of a lady who puts others before herself. She had no regards, no material regards for herself. Her life from first hour and first day was a life of sacrifice. Hayatu shukr, meaning that your life has to be the life of sacrifice, the life of service, the life of contribution. How much you contribute to those who live around you? Are you a burden on the society or a blessing? We have to ask, we have to constantly ask these important questions with ourselves. We don't have to share them with others. We have to find out the answer. Every day, am I a burden on my community, on my society, or I am a contributor? I give. There is a value in my life. What is the benefit of me being in this community, in this society, in this neighborhood? Is there any benefit of that? Or just eating, drinking, and having fun? This is a very critical question that we have to ask ourselves. Some people, their life in the society has blessing, barakah. Isa alayhi salam says about himself, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. Wherever I land, wherever I go, wherever I live, my presence is barakah, is contribution, is healing, is happiness for the people, is a solution for the people. Others, there are others, their presence is not a solution, is a burden, is a curse, is a fitna. Their presence in somewhere, when they arrive, people put their hands on their hearts. Oh my God, he's here today. We don't know what is next. What will happen next? Who's the next victim? That is the difference. Do people wait for your arrival, for your presence? Do they miss you? Do they long to see you and be around you and listen to you and talk to you and see you or not? This is self-examination. Whether you are in your house or outside, with your family or outside, we have to examine these things and look where we stand. The hadith says, شَرُّ النَّاسِ, the worst among the people. Who are the worst? Not the one who drinks alcohol or gambles, though these things are bad and terrible and no one should do them. But شَرُّ النَّاسِ, the worst person, مَنِ اتَّقَاهُ النَّاسُ لِلِسَانِهِ, people avoid him because of his tongue. People don't want to see him because of his tongue, because of the evilness of his tongue. His tongue is sharp, it hurts, doesn't bring healing. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. He taught us bayan, beautiful saying, beautiful speech, beautiful conversation. You know your speech has the power of healing? Not only the medicine that you get from the pharmacy, your own speech, your own talk, your own conversation, the sentence that you say, it has a power of healing. It heals. It heals the minds, the hearts, the souls. It heals your family. It heals yourself. It might heal your community, your country. You can either unite people or divide them through the power of speech. Allamahu al-bayan. The first thing God taught us is the art of bayan, expression, speaking, talking to the people. علمه البيان. Bayan means an intelligent expression, not just an expression, intelligent. Because haywan, animals, they don't have. They have expression. They make noises. They speak to each other. They communicate. But they don't have an intelligent. An animal cannot convince you that this is good or that this is bad. It cannot convince you. They communicate among themselves. But they don't have the power of convincing. No power of intelligence. We have that power. And we can use it. The second highlights of Hayatul Shukr, the second one, if we want to see whether my life is the life of Shukr or Kufr, God forbids. Number one is you put others before yourself. You sacrifice. You dedicate yourself to build not just yourself, but the society, the community. It's not a big deal if someone builds himself. It's very easy to build myself. Building myself financially, economically, socially, physically, whatever. But what is more important is to build your society, is to be a builder, contributor to your society, to the welfare of your society and your community. This is important. Is to leave a legacy. After our departure, we leave a legacy. Positive legacy. People miss us. They really miss us. Haven't you seen sometimes when someone dies, you miss that person for so many years. So many years after his or her death, you remember them. You say, we lost. We really lost. This is a loss to our community. The second element of Hayatul Shukr, Imma Shakiran wa Imma Kafura, is that we stand for the principles and the values. We put principles and values first. In this life, there are principles and values. To be honest is a principle, religious principle, ethical principle. Honesty is embedded in all religions. There is no religion that comes and honesty is missing from its recipe. Every single religion, every God, every prophet that God sent advocated honesty and truthfulness. So this is a value. At work, ask yourself, if you are working in a corporation, in a company, and they ask you to be dishonest. And if you are not dishonest, if you don't cheat in this business, in this deal, then you lose your job. Here, which one comes first? Some people say, I don't want to lose my job. If I lose this job, I lose my life. I lose my livelihood. I lose my sustenance. I lose my children. I lose my house. Others, they say, no. No. If I am dishonest, I'm going to lose my character. I'm going to lose myself. I'm going to be bankrupt, morally bankrupt. Because I am different than animals. Animals, when they see food, they eat the food. They don't think about the source of this food. With us, even if we are hungry, we have to think that whether I am allowed to eat this or not. Principles and values are more important. I'll give you an example, not to go too far. Scholars, ulama, sometimes certain countries, they ask them, certain presidents, governments, they ask them to issue a fatwa, a verdict that is anti-ethics, anti-religion, anti-Islam. Some of them, they give in to this pressure. They give the verdict. They give the fatwa to please the regime, to please the president, either in their speech or in their letters. Why? Because he wants to survive. For him, his life is more important than the life of the society, the community. For him, his job is more important than Islam. They give. Others, they say, no, even if they hang me, even if they shoot me, even if they put me in jail, I'm not going to write, I'm not going to sign. I remember back in the 80s when Saddam Hussein launched his war against Iran, he gathered ulama from Najaf and Karbala and he needed a fatwa that permits the Iraqi people to attack Iran, to say that this war is legitimate. Iran is a Majusi country, non-Muslim, therefore our war against it, it's legitimate. Many of the ulama in Najaf and Karbala, they ended in jail. One of them, my grandfather. They put him in jail. He was 8 years old. He went to jail. And he was never found until today. Never found. Many of his friends, they went to jail because Saddam wanted a fatwa to justify his aggression. They said, we don't write this. We don't do this. Even if you put us in jail. And then he killed many of them. Here, where do you stand? Do you put values and principles first, or do you put yourself, self-importance and self-existence and self-interest? Which one comes first? Fatima al-Zahra says, you put values first. You put Islamic and ethical principles first. Don't put yourself. It's not worth it. Because if you put yourself, you're going to lose both. You are not going to be successful. Allah never made it, never designed success in this life to be at the expense of others. God says this is not a success. I would not allow you to be successful at the expense of others. When you hurt others, when you jeopardize the life of others, the dignity of others, you are not going to be successful. And this is true everywhere, in politics, in business, in economics, in religion. This is true. Those who seek success at the expense of their communities and people and the oppressed, they are not going to be successful. They fail. These are two important highlights of Hayat al-Shukr, the life of gratefulness, the life of thankfulness, the life of satisfaction, the life of acceptance. Inna hadaynahu as-sabil. My friends, every single day it's a test for us. Every single morning when we wake up in the morning, we have the choice, either following Hayat al-Shukr or Hayat al-Kufr. Imma shakiran wa imma kafur. Every single morning, we have this choice. Where do you stand? Ask yourself, which one you choose? Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, she chose principles and values. She chose God. Doesn't the Prophet has 5 daughters? You just know the names of others, but nobody celebrates them. The Prophet had Zainab. The Prophet had Kulthum, Ruqayya. We respect them, we salute them. When I go to Baqi'a, I recite Fatiha for them. But that's it. But why Fatima al-Zahra is special? Why she is commemorated and celebrated and people cry for her? Because of this, because she puts her faith, her religion, her cause before herself. She was only 5 when her mother died. And children who lose their mother at that tender age, they sustain psychological injury. Long-term psychological injury. No one can replace a child. No one can come and replace a child, the love, and the compassion and the attachment to the mother. No one can be true mother to a child. Even the grandmother cannot replace the mother herself. Kids, they enjoy their, when they smell their own biological mothers, they enjoy it. They enjoy the smell. Let alone the smile, let alone the care. And Fatima alayhi salam, she lost Khadija. Khadija to bint Khuwaylid, she died when Fatima was 5. And the Prophet not only felt sorry for losing his wife, his loyal wife of 28 years, Khadija. The Prophet himself, he remembers Khadija. He says, Khadija wa ma adraka man Khadija. Who knows what Khadija was to me? She was a companion, she was a friend, she was a supporter, she was a healer. Khadija took off to the streets to salvage me when I am wounded, when I am bleeding. Khadija put her life online to protect me. Khadija gave every penny in her account to protect my faith. Khadija waman adraka man ma Khadija. So not only he felt sorry for the departure of his soulmate, Khadija, but he felt sorry for his daughter Fatima, losing her mother at the age of 5. And he asked Salama to take care of Fatima, to teach her the etiquettes, the manners. And Salama says, وَاللَّهْ كَانَتْ أَأْدَبُ مِنِّي وَأَعْرَفُ بِالْأُمُورِ كُلِّهَا. I was supposed to teach her etiquettes and manners. I found Fatima at that age, she knows better than I do. She doesn't need a trainer or a teacher. So she stood with her father. She put her father first. And her father testifies to this. He says, Fatima to Ummu Abiha. To her father, she's a mother, caring mother. And then after that, at the time of her marriage, Fatima puts Islam before her personal interest by choosing Ali ibn Abi Talib. We know Ali ibn Abi Talib was only 24 and he was a farmer. In Medina, his main job was a farmer, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And a farmer makes nothing at that time. He did not own the land. He did not own the land. He was hired by people to work in their lands. And Fatima accepted Ali, not because Ali is going to satisfy her personally, because Ali is the right person to defend Islam. Ali is the wazir, the senior aide of her father, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When she realized that her father, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wants her to marry Ali, she did not put her opinion before her father's opinion. She did not put her own desire before her father's desire. She submitted to her father. Why? Because her father is the messenger of Islam. And she, her father wants Imam Ali to be next to him all the time, because Ali is the first defender of Islam. And Ali being next to the Prophet is very important, not just for the safety, personal safety of the Prophet, but for the safety and the security of the whole society, the whole ummah, the whole community. So Fatima said, Ya Rasulullah, whatever you say, my father, don't ask me about my personal opinion. I want my life, my death, my marriage, my everything to be for God, for the sake of God, for the sake of protecting Islam. You might think that nobody asked for Fatima's hand. You know, every single companion of the Prophet, he had desire to marry Fatima. And many of them expressed that publicly. They came to the Prophet and they asked for his daughter's hand. Almost the main major companions of the Prophet, they asked for Fatima's hand. And many of them, some of them, I would not say many, some of them were very wealthy. So Fatima had the choice of marrying someone wealthy. But Fatima was not looking for material wealth. She was looking for moral wealth, spiritual wealth, human wealth. That was her goal. Because material wealth might not last, but a spiritual one would last to the end of the journey. And this is what you need in your life. You may live your marital life as a wife with a husband who does not make much money. He makes moderate money, but you are still happy and satisfied. Because what you get from him is love, is care, is sincerity, is attention, is protection. Though he doesn't make much money, but he gives you not his pocket, not his wallet, he gives you his heart. And you may live with a person who is very wealthy, but you are dissatisfied. You are dissatisfied because all the capital that he has is his wallet, nothing else. This physical wallet. He doesn't have affection. He doesn't have consideration. He doesn't have a heart. Fatima was looking for real happiness. A happiness that does not depend only on wealth. But it has to depend first and foremost on akhlaq and faith. And this is what she found in that young man, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali provided her with a decent moral living. Today, my friends, many girls, when someone asks for their hand, the first question that comes to their mind, what he's going to do for me? But this is not the right question, my friends. You should say, what he's going to do for me and my society and my community and my religion and God. Don't be selfish. Don't think of yourself alone. If you want that man to work for you alone and serve you alone, then you are a selfish person. And you might risk getting nothing out of him. But if you look at that person as a servant for the community, for the society, he has a living heart. He has a living conscience, which down inside him. And he wants to dedicate his life for God, for the society, for the people, for those who are needy. Then you're going to enjoy living with such a person. You're going to thrive. You're going to progress. You're going to grow. Grow spiritually and morally. You're going to enjoy every day with such a person. A person who dedicates his entire life and energy to serve God is a safe person. Is a lovely person. Is a person that you're going to see happiness with him. But that one who wants to satisfy you only you, he doesn't care about the society, that person is a dangerous person. You might not find that type of satisfaction with him. Be careful. And the same thing I say about girls, I say about boys too. Boys also, they want a lady to just satisfy them, He thinks of himself. He doesn't think of the society. He doesn't think of others. This is very dangerous. Fatima alayhi salam, she chose Ali because Ali puts God and Islam first. She fell in love with him. What was common between them, not the type of food, not the colors. Sometimes people marry because we like the same color, you know. Same coffee, same beach, same weather, same house. Okay, these things are good. But what is more important that binds you together is when you love God both. You have a commonality in loving God. You have a commonality in serving people. Both of you want to serve. Not one of you. Both. This is the good commonality. This is the good common element. Try to find these common elements. If you want your life to be the life of purpose, and at the age of 60 and 70 and 80 you don't regret, you don't look at back of your life and see it empty, but you see it full of achievement, marry a person that you share with him the love and dedication for God and humanity. These things are foundational. They stay. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. Material things, God says they are scum. They go. They don't stay. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. Real principles, such as serving God, dedicating oneself to God, saying, God, I am your slave. You tell me what to do. I'm not going to say no. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِ. Everything I do is for you. These are principles. These are foundations. They don't go away. They stay. And you see the blessings of them. You see the fruits of them. You see it in your life. You see it with your children. You see it on yourself. Fatima, she chose Ali. And when she chose Ali, she chose every beautiful thing in this universe. Ali was the loyal husband who stood with his wife, and they raised four children, two boys and two girls. All those four are a model of akhlaq, a model of manners, a model of sacrifice. A model of contribution to their societies and to the humanity. Out of that marriage, Hassan and Hussein were produced. Can you find me two kids like Hassan and Hussein? In their physical beauty and moral beauty? From that marriage, from that humble house. Because the heart of Ali joined with the heart of Fatima. Both of them worked for God. Therefore, they never complained about dunya. Imam Ali says, never ever. Fatima one day said to me, there is something missing in the house. And many things were missing in the house. Many things. You know what was the most important thing missing in the house? Food. Many nights, many days, this family goes without food. But Fatima does not complain. Because she knows this is a test from God. Why she should complain to Ali when this is God's design and God's test for them? Imam Ali says a sentence that rarely a husband say about his wife. I never heard this. Even the Prophet Muhammad never said this about none of his wives, that she never, Fatima, never made me angry one day, never disobeyed me one day, Fatima. Fatima was full of beauty, full of peace. Whenever I look at her, I come back home, sad, being betrayed by people. I come back to this emotional and psychological shelter called Fatima. She shelters me. We think that women, they shelter their husbands with clothing, with good meal. She fixes good meal for him. It's okay. It's okay. But the most important shelter is akhlaq, your manners. Your manners with the husband who comes back home tired, tired of this dunya. But he finds a refuge at home. A mature refuge, a refuge that does not complain. Imam al-Sadiq says, if it wasn't for Ali, Fatima could not have found a husband in her life. لو لم يخلق الله عليا لما كان لفاطمة كفء أبدا. She could not find a proper husband for herself. They matched each other, Ali and Fatima. And you know, the Prophet said to Imam Ali, said to him, Ali, it's true that you are my student and I'm your mentor, but God has given you three things. He didn't give these three things to me. You have them, I don't have them. And I will mention the story tomorrow in Salatul Jumu'ah. These are three items. So you would come, inshallah, and listen. The Prophet says to him, and this hadith is mentioned in the Sunni traditions, that the Prophet said, Ya Ali, God has given you three gifts. I myself did not get them. Assalamu alayki ya Fatima al-Zahra. يا بنت رسول الله هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا. Do you know, my friends, that this chapter 67, Surah Al-Insan, the reason for this chapter is Ali and Fatima. This chapter speaks about the first family, the family of Ali and Fatima. And you know, one of God's miracles even today is that the Wahhabis in Mecca and Medina, they demolished everything, including the house where the Prophet was born in, but they could not demolish the house of Ali and Fatima inside the masjid. So when people go to Hajj, when they stand before the Prophet, after greeting the Prophet, they turn to Ali and Fatima, to this house. This is a model house. Do you see in some, when they build a complex, they have a model house? Model number one, number two, number three. People go inside, wow! They look at the furniture, the design. The house of Ali and Fatima was model in patience, not in furniture. In sacrifice. The most basic house was the house of Ali and Fatima. But it was furnished with akhlaq, with manners. So it became a model even today. There is a small door. If you happen to go through Bab Jibra'il, this is Babu Aliyin wa Fatima. Out of many homes, this house stands as a testimony for the truth. Because this house is mentioned in the Quran. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. في بيوت أذن الله. God permits, God wishes for these homes to be risen so people would look at them. People remember sacrifice. People get inspired by these homes. أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. The day Imam Ali buried Fatima in the middle of the night, when he puts her in her grave, he turns to the Prophet And the first thing he says, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, anni wa an ibnatika an-nazilati fi jiwarik. I greet you on my behalf and on behalf of your lovely daughter, the sweet daughter who just arrived next to you, ya Rasulullah. Anni wa an ibnatika an-nazilati fi jiwarik was-sari'ati al-lihaq bik. She was so fast to join you. You know, yesterday was the 13th of Jumada Thani. It was the martyrdom of Lady Fatima yesterday, 13th. It's only 75 days after the departure of the Prophet. Young lady dies only 75 days, and she's buried only 75 days after her father. وَالسَّرِيعَةِ اللِّحَاقِ بِكَ. Imam Ali says, your daughter, she rushed to join you, ya Rasulallah. And then he says, ya Rasulallah, قَلَّ عَنْ صَفِيَّتِكَ صَبْرِي. I am almost losing my patience because of the departure of your daughter Fatima. And then he says, ya Rasulallah, ask your daughter immediately what happened to her, what they did to her. فَكَمْ مِنْ غَلِيلٍ مُعْتَلِجٍ فِي صَدْرِهَا لَمْ تَجِدْ إِلَىٰ بَثِّهِ سَبِيلًا. You know how much suffering and pain she has in her chest? She did not even express that even to me. She didn't share it with me. She took it with her to the grave. In the middle of darkness, Fatima alayhi salam, she asks Ali, Ya ibn al-am, idha qadaytu nahbi, faghassilni wa kaffinni wa hannatni bifadili hanuti abi rasulillah. Wa salli alayhi. You take care of washing my body. You put me, shroud me in the kafan. You are my husband, the closest person to me. And then put me in my, pray over my body and put me in my grave. وَحْمِلْنِي بِاللَّيْلِ. Carry my coffin in the middle of the night. إِذَا نَامَتِ الْعُيُونِ. When people go to sleep. وَهَجَعَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. They go to rest. وَعَفِّ مَوْضِعَ قَبْرِي. Hide my gravesite. Don't make it public. وَلَا تَشْهَدْ جَنَازَتِي أَحَدًا مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُونِي وَلَا مِنْ أَشْيَاعِهِمْ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوُّ اللَّهِ. And don't allow those who abused me, those who hurt me and hurt my religion and my father and you, to walk behind my procession, to come to my janazah. For they are the enemies of the Lord and my enemies. And then she says to him, one more request. My husband Ali, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, وَتَعَهَّدْ قَبْرِي بِقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فَإِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ يَأْنَسْ إِذَا حَضَرَ عِنْدَهُ أَهْلُهُ. And promise me that you come to my graveside to recite Quran, because the deceased will be happy and pleased when his family, they gather around his grave or her grave. And then in the middle of the night, Ali carries the coffin of Fatima with only seven people. Only seven people. They take her to her burial site. وَمَا بَرِحَتْ مَظْلُومَةً ذَاتَ عِلَّةٍ تُؤَرِّقُهَا الْبَلْوَى وَظَالِمُهَا مُخْفِي إِلَىٰ أَنْ قَضَيْتْ مَكْسُورَةَ الضِّلْعِ مُسْقَطًا جَنِينٌ لَهَا جَنِينٌ لَهَا بِالضَّرْبِ مُسْوَدَّةً كتفي ولأي الأمور تدفن ليلا بضعة المصطفى ويعفى ثراها بنت من أم من حليلة من ويل لمن سن ظلمها وأذاها. السلام عليك يا سيدتي ويا مولاتي يا فاطمة الزهراء يا بنت رسول الله يا سيدة نساء العالمين يا أم الحسن والحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. Just أمن يجيب, because we have a friend, he's a scholar, his name is Dr. Sheikh Shubbar from Lebanon. He has a brain surgery tomorrow morning in New York City. So he called me and he wants us to tonight pray for him. Recite this ayah, please, for his healing and shifa, inshallah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 يا الله اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية. المريض المنظور اللهم ألبسه ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج إمامنا وسيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.